You're listening to Audio Culture on 95 BFM.
Thanks to Audio Culture, Iwi Waiata, the noisy library of New Zealand music. Go to audioculture.co.nz.
Audio Culture comes with a very strong BFM recommendation. If you want to find out anything about any of your musical heroes and or favourite musicians, check them out, audioculture.co.nz. There are so many great stories. So many great writers. One of those great writers is here right now, Gareth Shute. Welcome.
Kia ora. Thanks for having me, Johnny. Yeah, I just thought I'd tell people about my latest article and a couple of other things that are on there. There's a piece Martin Pepperell did about the Crash Hot cassettes that came out in the 90s that BFM actually did to promote New Zealand bands overseas. So they made these cassettes and went through BFM and gave them out at all these conferences overseas. There's a weird article about Dominic Nola, who used to do Freak the Sheep and stuff in those days.
Okay.
So, like, that's a classic old BFM history.
I know nothing about. I know there's a lot of stories around BFM. I have not heard this story yet.
Oh, you should check it out. It's pretty funny because it's just looking at the cassettes, even. It's pretty classic and the bands on there, pretty throwback. And then there's a couple of things to do with Jay Mons from Bulletproof. We did a story on him because he passed away. Rest in peace. And we also did a 10 Moments in New Zealand Drum and Bass, which was he helped out with before he passed away. So it's a cool thing to check out. We've got articles on Jordan Rakai and a Dunedin story map. But the thing I'm talking about today is I wrote an article about just sort of an overview of some of the cool gear that New Zealanders have invented and created in New Zealand.
Yes.
I just wanted to get a sense of, give people a sense of the wide range of weird DIY, number eight wire type musical inventions people have made. So, I mean, the old school ones kind of quite obscure things in some ways, but like really internationally famous. Like there's this guy, Trevor Thwaite, who lives in like New Plymouth. And he's like a trumpet player, and he, when he had kids, like babies, he had heaps of trouble like practicing because mutes take you slightly out of tune, and you also have to blow them quite differently. And so he's like, I can do better than this, and that classic Kiwi mate way. So he made this mute using his like decades of experience as a cornet player, and now this mute that he's created, it just sells around the world. It's used by all these crazy bands like Wynton Marsalis's band use it, and his son actually plays for the NZSO, so they all use these mutes as well.
So they can just practice at home.
Yeah, so it's called the Schmoot, like with a sh mute. Gareth, so that's a funny story, I thought.
Gareth is a fellow cyclist. Have you ever been riding your bike out west near Oakley Creek? Because there's a guy who plays saxophone who like goes down into the bush by Oakley Creek and plays saxophone.
That's so good.
His family must be like, get out. He's like, no, but I need to practice. That's a thing. Yeah, I don't know if they have mutes for saxophone. These schmute, the guys made them for all like trombones and all the horn instruments. So, though, what you could do for saxophone, though, another invention on the list is the sax moniker. This guy invented this tiny saxophone that's like you can fit in your pocket. Like it's about like 10 inches long. So that's another New Zealand invention that's selling around the world. It's like the craziest looking thing. It's worth actually going to the Top Gear page on Audio Culture and clicking through this guy's videos where he's like saxing it up with this tiny little saxophone and doing the slick like 80s thing. And then there's more kind of sort of boutique-y cool ones. Like I put Ekadec in there, which is the this guy who makes like preamps and quite sort of nerdy musical gear, but it's basically kind of analog sound stuff you'd have in the studio that gives you different kind of reverbs and room sounds and preamps and mixes and stuff. And this guy Ekadec, like Ruben from UMO, uses all his gear and stuff. Like one album he used one preamp and he just put the whole album through it at the end to try and get the sound and stuff. And yeah, it's really cool. It looks really crazy, like boxes with little welds in them. They're like sci-fi movies from the 50s or something.
Yeah, I was going to say it looks like a piece of kit that would have like come out of the BFM transmitter room or like a sci-fi movie. It's so old looking.
Yeah, and there's cool studios like one in Australia that uses entirely his stuff pretty much, because he does analog and he wants to go entirely analog straight to tape, and then he sends tape to be pressed on vinyl without ever touching any digital technology.
Yes.
So the Ekadex stuff is really loved by analog.
Wow, it's
lovers.
A nice looking studio. On audioculture.co.nz, there's a bunch of great photographs that accompany this story, and that looks like a cool studio to record in.
Yeah.
Over in Australia.
Totally. Yeah, mm-hmm. I mean, that's out of Melbourne, so you drive an hour out and you just stay
Castle
there.
It's
Main. Like a little hotel thing he's yep. got there. Yeah, he recorded the Condra's first EP when he was here. This guy Alex used to be in Raw Nerves, but he lives over there and has the Ekadex studio now. Another kind of boutique-y thing is the musical electronics library up at Audio Foundation that I want to talk about. That was just mm-hmm. Kraus, the sound noise
yes.
well, experimental musician.
Yep, yep,
he
yep.
really good at making his own synths, and so he got volunteers together to make all these sound units
yes.
in old VHS cases. And so they have this library of weird synth effects that you can actually borrow if you join
yes.
their library, and
yep.
all these other instruments now as well. But I just thought that was a cool bit of gear, so you can see a photo
mm-hmm.
of those.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, lastly, for this bit, I got onto the idea of doing a guitar pedal. Really, I needed to do like a whole list of 10. I think Audio Culture would do a whole list of 10, so don't at me about how I missed out Red Witch and all these amazing ones, or like Flux Effects, Dogmatic. There's like heaps of cool New Zealand pedal makers, but I thought I'd start with the classic, of course, Hot Cake and Prunes and Custard by Paul Crowther, who's from Split Enz originally.
Mm-hmm. Would you say he's the most famous pedal maker from Aotearoa?
I'd say Red Witch is probably challenging him now, to be honest.
Okay.
So he kind of won, he got in the article by sort of just through the historical, like he just did it so early. I mean, he was making pedals like in the late 60s when, you know, there's no way you can find out how they were
yes.
made. You'd get the weirdest little diagrams from magazine and just try and work it out. And even like his first band, Orb, which was this like prog band, he made a whole synth and stuff. And Eddie Rayner played keyboards in that band. So he'd play the synth, and Paul Crowther was the drummer. And in between songs, he'd like crawl over the stage and adjust the synth for the next song, because it was all like totally hands-on. So when he made the Hot Cake, I mean, people love the sound because it's crunchy, but it actually keeps the melody line way better. It doesn't totally distort the whole melody. So distorted kind of players like it, like Datsun's or whoever, but then clean players like Eric Clapton and people like that.
Oh, Eric Clapton just playing his
yeah,
Hot Cake.
Or like Mark Knopfler, I think, is a more confirmed one. I probably shouldn't say Eric Clapton. That's more of a rumour. But, yeah, Mark Knopfler's been photographed with one in his unit. And when the Rolling Stones came, one story in the thing is the guy who does the pedals for Keith Richards came and said, oh, I'll give you a free ticket to the Rolling Stones show if you give me a Hot Cake to put in the line for Keith Richards and stuff. So
yeah.
some amazing people have been using these pedals. And I thought a weirder one is the Prunes and Custard, which is a it says Prunes and Custard on the top, and underneath it says Harmonic
yes.
Generator, which led to that Datsun song, which kind of shows how loved it is.
Yes.
And it's an even crazier way of kind of warping sound. And I thought to give people an example of what the Prunes and Custard sounds like, we'd play a bit of Liam Finn's Better to Be. The guitar on that is just all like Prunes and Custard. So we'll check that out.
Step.
To revisit, I'll Be Lightning. That was Liam Finn with Better To Be. You're listening to 95BFM. We are in the midst of Audio Culture, where a writer from audioculture.co.nz comes in and gives us a rundown on their latest story for Audio Culture. We're talking 10 New Zealand musical gear innovations with Gareth Shute.
Sure. Yeah, I just thought I'd bring it up today with some sort of newer digital innovations, like... So three other things on the list are these crazy companies, two companies really, that are the heart of the K Road like international empire. It's just crazy. Like Serato is the first one, which started, you know, Steve West at university, the guy who also runs the whole EV charging network now. That's where he put his Serato money. But while he was at university, he wanted to learn a bass line, but he wanted to learn it in a different key or whatever, and so he just found the software at that time. You couldn't pitch shift something without losing the melody or taking it out of key and stuff, and so he made his own software as a university student, and one of his other classmates were like, man, this should be a company. And so they created this company, Serato, and made this pitch shifting technology as a plugin for like Pro Tools and so forth. And so that's where it started. But then they had a second run at it. So I split them in two because that was a massive company or part of the company already. But then they had this digital DJing where another like classmate was trying to do a way to scratch records with a digital MP3 track or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So that you're still, the DJ gets the feel of DJing as they've always done and all these techniques of scratching and cutting and switching between records, but can use a digital file so they can use the turntable but not bring the big record bag. And so Serato made this like crazy DJ tool. That was their next big innovation, and
it's the go-to up here on a Friday night.
Yeah.
Everyone, you know, Serato. The Serato discs under the 1200s over here.
Yeah.
North Shore Pony Club, it's all Serato.
Yeah, it's crazy. Yeah, Jazzy Jeff is like a big DJ in America, and he's like their main kind of spokesperson guy. And so that was the seed of this kind of industry, but then there's all these kind of flow-on effects of that. One is like Sam Gribben spun off. He was their CEO for a while, but he spun off Melodix, which is this other company that does...
Also K-Road?
Yeah, also K-Road that does learning music. Like he realized that DJs or like music producers these days who make pop and hip-hop and stuff often use drum pads to make beats and stuff. And he's like, how do they learn to play drum beats well on pads? I'll make this software that's like game-like on the screen and they just follow it along to practice their like drumming in time so that they can whip off a drum beat real quick. And then he realized, oh, I could actually just do this with electronic drums. I could do the same for electronic keyboards, like MIDI keyboards. And so Melodix has become this massive company too. Serato's still expanding. They're doing like stems now, so you can break up a song into bits to mix. Also on K-Road, not in the article because it's an American company, but one of the other dudes involved with Serato and stuff brought In Music over here, which is this massive company that does Akai and all these brands. And so they've got a whole office up there of developers doing software for those brands. So K-Road is this like innovation hub. It's like crazy. It's one of In Music's biggest offices in the world, and it's like up there as well.
Wow.
Yeah, so I just thought it'd be cool to highlight that. So yeah, the Top Gear article, you can read more about those. It just goes all the way from like, you know, it's got this tiny company, family-owned company, Boogie Juice, that does like fretboard cleaner, and then it goes all the way right up to Serato and stuff. Obviously, there's a lot of smaller companies. I almost feel like I have to do a part two. People were recommending such cool stuff online, like Kiwi Technics and Avon Synth and stuff, these little companies that do digital sound making for music. So could be a part two. I definitely think Audio Culture will do like a pedals one, and maybe we'll do a interesting instruments one as well, following on from the Sax Monica, because there's a lot of cool stuff. You know, I've been to like Carl Stevens' studio, who does like film composition. He has crazy instruments that people have made around New Zealand, so they can make little dings and things. So yeah, but yeah, people out there, if you check out the Audio Culture article, it's got more detail on those stories, and maybe you'll get inspired to start your own little company doing I don't know, making pedals, making little synths. Man, Kraus actually does these like courses where he teaches people to make synths, so there is a possibility.
We've had a text come through saying this segment is magic. Oh, thank you. There you go.
Thanks for having me. Hey, and cheers to that listener.
Yeah, cheers to you, listener. All right, can we go back to the hot cake, the Crowlers hot cake and prunes and custard, and play the stats and the song?
Oh, yeah. This is listed on the prunes and custard, which is this crazy pedal Crowler made. So harmonic generator is listed on every pedal below the main heading.
Excellent. Hey, thank you very much, Gareth Shute. Go and check out audioculture.co.nz and read his most recent article, which came out in October, 10 New Zealand Musical Gear Innovations. Thank you, Gareth.
Cheers.
Oh!
Audio Culture on 95BFM.
Thanks to Audio Culture, Iwi Waiata, the Noisy Library of New Zealand Music. Go to audioculture.co.nz. It's just fascination.